And thank you for those of you who are with us tonight, who are hungering, thirsting for the Lord, who He is, what He is, and what He wants to bless us with. You're here because you want to go higher, you want to go deeper, you want to go broader. He's here because He wants to take us to all those places and many more. I can promise you, the Lord wants us more than we could ever, ever want Him. I believe so, even in heaven. His desire will always be more for us than we can, as a created being, desire Him. He is the greater, we are the lesser. But His call is ever sent forth from His very bosom. Draw near to me, and I will draw near to you. There is a place in God that is so beautiful. It is so what is the word I could use to describe it? It's beautiful, it's holy, it's home. You don't know how much home it is until you really touch that place for the first time. Maybe you thought that there can be no greater place than to be standing in the presence of God, experiencing the touch of God. It's so beautiful. His love is so compelling. But there is something about Him that either distracts your very mind, your very heart, it can be so distracting if your heart is not following hard after Him. But if your heart is following hard after Him, although you do not know where you're going, there is a way that He leads that we know not. There is a way that He reveals Himself that we cannot put into words. Someone might say to us, well, what did you feel? What did you think? And you're standing there thinking, what earthly language is there that will help me to help anyone understand what I just experienced? He's not other earthly. He's otherworldly, and the otherworldly, I think, is heavenly. Well, heaven is in Him. He's not in heaven. Heaven is in Him. You can say just about anything, maybe everything, and the truth is, it's in Him, not He in it. And these abounding revelations, these abounding experiences, these abounding travels from one side of God to another, to fully understand Him, are eternal. They're forever. You can live eternally and never find the end of God. So if you've got one of those kind of personalities that it's difficult for you to be repetitious, you don't ever have to worry about that with God. I've been in the ministry for over 40 years, and the truth is, I've never had two services alike. Not because I've desired it to be so, but because God has so many ideas. He's just amazing. And if you follow Him instead of expecting Him to follow you, you can have thousands of different experiences and never grow bored. But I would want to encourage you that above all, you would hunger to know Him. He really is everything. Please turn in your Bibles to Isaiah 33. We're going to start with verse 5. It says, "The Lord is exalted, for He dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment and righteousness." And this word righteousness here speaks of piety of the heart. Now, let me say this to you. While you must do your part to yearn for righteousness, He is the one that has to put His own piety in your heart. Anything less is just more soul and more flesh. You hunger for righteousness. You hunger for this purity, this piety, and you pray to be filled with it. When He gives you directives, you obey it. And when this transmission occurs, He has imparted something of Himself into you, making your heart of greater piety, of greater purity, so that He can take you for these lovely walks and impart Himself to you. And wisdom, verse 6, "and knowledge shall be the stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is His treasure." I read this scripture, it's very hard for me not to weep. I love this passage. And I love it not only for the promise of wisdom and knowledge, but I love it for the fear of the Lord, the promise of the fear of the Lord. I was very young in the Lord when He introduced me to the fear of the Lord. It changed my life. And the changes that it provoked is still cycling through my soul. Every day, everything I say, everything I do, everything I desire that my mind would think. It isn't that I don't sometimes have to fight the enemy. He loves the mind. That's his playground. And sometimes I have to fight that. But every vital part of me finds its rest in him. And when I allow that to continue on, I find that the thing that secures every step is the fear of the Lord. Let me take just 1 minute, please, and I'll try to make this very quick. I'd rather you hear the scripture than my experiences, but sometimes my experiences are given to me for your sake, not to lift me up. I'm not here to lift myself up. I'm here to lift him up. And he promised that if he be lifted up, he would draw all men unto, not me, but him. And that's my heart's cry. But tonight, let me just share this one little bit to help you better understand what it means to love and fear the fear of the Lord. I was very young in him, just maybe, I don't know if I was 2 years young in him. I knew that I had a call on my life. I was trying to prepare for that call. My sister and her husband had taken Ricky to go down to Disneyland. I knew that that would be at least Ricky's last trip because I was heading for ministry and had lost interest in that kind of playground at any rate. So they went down there fully intending to have a wonderfully joyous time. I stayed home because I wanted to see what it would be like to have a whole weekend in the presence of God, as deep as he would let me go at my young age. So I stayed and I prayed. As I was praying, I began to sing a song that at that time was very new. It was, I think, put out by the Maranatha Singers. I'm not positive about that. That was many, many years ago. But a group like that, anyway. And the song was, I Exalt Thee, not the second time a song by that title was written, but the first song. I later ended up meeting this woman's grandson. We became very good friends. But she had written many beautiful songs of that nature during her time here on this earth. So I was singing this song, and as I'm singing, I'm walking around the living room worshiping the Lord with it, when suddenly Jesus came in, but he came in stages. The first thing he did was make his presence known. And the longer it took, the more I was becoming introduced to the holiness of God in a way that not only I learned very quickly, very little of the American church had ever experienced. This presence that was coming into the room was so holy. It was getting more and more difficult for me to walk. I was no longer able to praise him or worship him with my mouth, with my tongue, because he was so holy. that I knew I was diminishing the presence he was in by worshiping him with my mouth. So in tears, I just stopped and started worshiping him with my heart. As I did this, his holiness became greater, deeper, denser, more and more holy. To the point, I could not keep walking. I was, as it were, being confronted with this presence that I, as a young believer, had never experienced before. I didn't know there was such a thing. But I knew that it had nothing to do with me, and it had everything to do with him. I knew also that it was his holiness that I was experiencing. How did I know? I don't know. I just know that I knew that's what I was wrapped in. I could no longer move. I just stood there with my heart worshiping him. When suddenly, like the man Jesus walked into my room. He just was suddenly there, right in front of me. And when he came in, I went down. I went down. No one was holding me. No one was catching me. No one was making sure that I didn't get hurt. I went down on my face. I began to shake like a fish out of water. I began to not just shake. I know this is going to sound, I don't know, Nita, I don't know if I can believe that. And that's fine, but try to believe it, because it was amazing. I was flopping around like a fish out of water. And it was because of his holiness. It was entering into me. It wasn't just cocooning me. And this holiness that he was allowing me to experience was so extravagant that I became mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually undone. When I was finally able to come to some reasonable calmness, I said to him, Lord, I didn't say it with my mouth. I said it from my heart. I was too terrified to speak to him from my mouth because it seemed like anything about my flesh did not, could not, was not perfected enough in his holiness to dare talk to him with it. So I spoke spirit to spirit, heart to heart. And I said, Lord, I love you so much. And tears are flowing down my eyes. I love you so much. I want you to talk to me, but I'm terrified. If you do, I will die. I want to talk to you, but I'm terrified. If I do, I will die. I'm terrified of this holiness, but I don't want you to leave. I don't want the holiness to leave. It's so beautiful. It's so terrifying, but it's so beautiful. Please don't go. Please help me to stay here for a while longer. He talked to me about many things. I was so new in the Lord. He could have talked to me about a few things, and to me it would have been, you know, like having him talk 100 things. But he did talk to me about many things. And I understood him as who he was because of the things that he was saying, and because it was entering into my heart and into my soul in holiness. The night was a beautiful night. I was so enraptured in this newly found presence of God. It was so beautiful. I finally was able to get to sleep, and the next morning I was suddenly awakened by this same presence. It came down upon me like that, like a cloud. Holiness unto the Lord. This voice spoke, and it came down as the voice of many waters. Holiness unto the Lord. And that intensity of holiness became so overwhelming in my room that my bed was shaking. Literally, you could hear it hitting the wall. I won't tell you all that happened because we'll lose our point here, but the one thing he did say to me before he left was, holiness unto the Lord. You must be holy in my name. Nita, my word is holy. And from that day on, my hunger for his word exploded. I no longer read it, having to fight with my flesh, good book or true book. Well, the Bible says it, so I have to believe. None of that kind of stuff anymore. I was so hungry for truth. I lived in anguish in a very beautiful way. I knew that every word of this noble book would teach me about my God. The Lord is exalted, for he dwelleth on high. He hath filled Zion with judgment. And this word judgment could have been rendered justice. And righteousness, which here means piety of heart. And wisdom and knowledge shall be stability of thy times, and strength of salvation. The fear of the Lord is his treasure. He told me before he left me the second day, he said, be not afraid. I came to teach you the fear of the Lord. But he didn't teach me like a teacher would teach a disciple or a student. He taught me through experience. I experienced the fear of the Lord and what it meant to live in the fear of the Lord. This is far more than just loving the Lord. It is literally godly fear of his precepts, of his teachings, of his word, of his prophetic utterances, and the like. When he sees a saint hungering for him, as I was hungering for him, the first thing he has to give us is the fear of the Lord. Because if he doesn't, we will mess it up. We will do all kinds of things God's really not in, thinking it's very Christian. But when we have the fear of the Lord, it goes beyond being very Christian into a brand new life of living in understanding, of conceptual understanding, of perspective, a teaching and training of our mind, a changing of our heart, a yielding of our will. And an honest commitment of heart that we are going to live for and in God all the days of our life. Things will change. People that are not walking in that kind of commitment will become very displeased over our commitment. We don't even have to say a word. They will know it because your countenance has changed. I talk to very, very mature Christians, people that are very, very prophetic, people that I respect very highly. But they don't want to talk about Jesus every other line. That's all I want to talk about. Still, after 40 years, He is my all in all. And He has done that to me. So through this wisdom and this knowledge that He gives, through the righteousness and the justice that He places within us, we learn the strength of the fear of the Lord, and in that we walk. Verse 10, He says, "Now I will rise, says the Lord. Now will I be exalted. Now will I lift up myself." Verse 14, "The sinners in Zion are afraid, and fearfulness has surprised the hypocrites. Who among us shall dwell with that devouring fire? Who among us shall dwell with that everlasting burnings?" Let's turn to Hebrews 12, 28 and 29, please, for just a moment. It says, "Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire." What does it mean that He's a consuming fire? One of the first and major ways that Moses saw God, if not the first, was to see Him, as it were, in a burning bush. That is a picture, if you will, of our God. He is fire. The Bible goes on to help us understand that angels look like flames of fire. His own on this earth look like flames of fire. It is the light. It is the spirit. It is the life of God that is ever living in the heart of His own. Fire. It's very real. I can remember one time when I was still living in Nebraska, I had been taken up by Jesus. I mean, he just, if I remember correctly, just called me up to himself. And we had quite a talk. I was there for quite a while. My dear friend was with me. We were kind of having a prayer meeting. But she knew the minute I'd been taken up. We had prayed together enough that she knew when I was in my body and when I wasn't. So she knew that I'd been taken up. The Lord talked to me about very holy things. When he released me to come back into my body, I opened my eyes and I looked at my friend. And what I wanted to say to my friend is, I was in heaven. I don't know why I felt like I needed to tell her that, because she always knew. But that's what started to come out of my mouth when she screamed. And I said, "What's wrong? What's wrong?" She said, "Your eyes are flames of fire. They look like you don't have the eyes anymore. They're flames of fire." And I said, "Come on." She said, "No, I'm serious. Go look in the mirror." And truly, my eyes were flames of fire. God is a consuming fire. When he makes you his own, if you desire him, I mean desire him to the point that nothing matters as much as entering into the deepest place you can go in him and to know him, which has been my ever-living hunger since the day I got saved. He has to purge out the old. He has to pour in the new, but the new is poured in almost like hot gold that has been boiled until it has been totally purified and looks like liquid light. That's what it looks like. And inside of us, that's what God creates through his purging. I know this because he's shown it to me, and that is beautiful to him. We look like liquid fire within when we have been fully purged. At that place, we hate sin. We despise it. We love the people, but we cannot tolerate the sin. And, well, that's kind of the way he is. He loves people, but he cannot tolerate sin. So as he has become consuming fire in us, we have become consumed with the fire of God. And I think, what time is it? I think we need to close right here and now. This is the path to union, this purification that I'm talking about, this holiness. You cannot do that within yourself. All you can do is have a prayer life, a word life, and a yes life. A life that says yes to him. That you learn to love as he loves. That you yearn for the purity that is only of God. He will do everything it takes to prepare you for that most holy place. But you must do your part.